Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel, Foothill Ranch, with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
So I want to take a second just to welcome everyone to this Christmas Eve service. I don't know about you, but it didn't really feel like Christmas until maybe when it got less than like 95 degrees outside last week. And I told Pastor Steve, God gave me something to share months ago, and I asked Pastor Steve if I could have this opportunity to share with you guys today. And as I sat here and I just thought about Christmas, I want you to close your eyes for a second. Think about Christmas. When I say Christmas, what do you think about? It's a time of joy, love, giving, twinkling lights, good old Christmas music, peppermint mochas, snowflake. And of course, you can't get by without the Grinch and Elf. So you guys can open your eyes. Is that what you picture when it comes to Christmas? All these warm memories. It's many people's favorite time of the year. All the nostalgia and the memories, the friends, the family, the food, first and foremost. I know Bryce and me, that's our favorite part. All the food and the big roast that we make in Rooted. That's what Christmas is for so many of us. And the part that kind of, when I started thinking about this and I thought about what's all the memories and the nostalgia for me, it's like all these things, Elf comes before Jesus sometimes in my memory when I think of Jesus or when I think of Christmas. So many of you guys probably came here this morning wanting a comfortable, familiar message, you know, about a cute little baby in a manger, and not quite going to get that here this morning. We'll go into that, but God has really just spoken to my heart in preparation for this. So I really want to have a time where we can really be real in our hearts and kind of allow God to explore our hearts. So over the past several months, and I've shared this a lot in Rooted and in other conversations, God's really challenged me to allow him to explore my heart. Just to really get in there and say, God, go through my heart, search it. It's a pretty scary thing to ask God to do because there's some pretty rocky areas in most of our hearts, mine included. And so I just asked God to go and explore the depths of my heart. And that the more that I read and the more that I learned and the more that I spent time in his word, the more that I prayed about it, the more that I realized just how important it is, the state of our heart. God, he wants us, of course, to do all the good things and do all his work and everything, but he's so concerned with our heart. It's not just our actions. It's not just doing the right things. He wants our heart to be right in doing the right things, in doing his work and serving his body and doing his ministry and his outreach. It's about our heart. It's more than just going out and doing that. And that's not like a get out of jail free pass to just say, well, my heart's not right, therefore I won't serve, or I won't go to church, or I won't do that. No, but we got to have the two together. And we got to realize that God calls us to have immense blessings and to just pour out over those, over the works that we do, and we're going in with a heart to serve him and a heart that's pure and a heart that's right and a heart that's set on serving God. When we have that, the fullness of the blessing, we cut ourselves short of so often. Because I go in and I do it, but, you know, I'm angry on my way there, or frustrated, or, you know, I'm running late, and all of a sudden my heart's just out of whack. And then we wonder why sometimes we don't see the full fruit. But God says, do these things and have that heart. Have a heart that is out of love and out of compassion and out of a response for the love that he poured out on us. So it all comes down to the status of our heart, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. The more time that I spent going through this, I realize that looking upwardly demands that I look inwardly. I'm going to say that again. Looking upwardly demands that I look inwardly. So what does that mean? It means that if I want to look up to God, God wants to search my heart. It's not enough to just come on a Saturday, or I mean on a Sunday, Saturday night maybe if you have a Saturday night service, but to come on a Sunday morning with a heart that's just not here and, you know, you're missing the full blessing. God wants you to come here with a heart that's plugged in, a heart that's ready to receive what he has for us, a heart that's just ready to be molded and loved by God. That's what he wants us to have. So when we come here today and we're looking upwardly to Jesus, We need to realize we got to look into our hearts too. We got to allow God to search our heart. So I have some questions here, and I want you guys just to think about this. But where is your heart this morning? Where's your heart this morning? Is it frantically focused on the gifts, on the meal, the in-laws, the timing? Have any of you guys already checked your clock to see how long this is going to go, knowing that you got to get to the store and then back home and get that thing in the oven? And I'm just getting started. Don't worry. Where's your heart? Is it distant and calloused as you just punched in for your church attendance? I mean, when we're real with ourselves, are we here because we're coming here because God loved us so much, poured out so much love on us that there's nowhere that I'd rather be here this morning than in His presence with His body worshiping Him? Or is it just, yeah, this is the good thing to do. It's Christmas Eve. I should probably be at church. Tag a couple selfies at church and let everybody know how holy I am. Where's your heart? Is it empty and longing for something better? The next new gadget, the perfect career, perfect relationship, a greater purpose? Is your heart burdened and heavy by the missing of a loved one during this holiday season? There's realities, just like Pastor Steve said, that when we come, we have a lot of burdens on our heart. We have a lot of things that God says, lay them at the feet of my cross. I'm going to take them. Come here with a heart that is overjoyed. So I hope the answer to this question is that we are all overwhelmed by the love that God has poured out on us here this day. We should be overwhelmed. We shouldn't be frantically focused on the food and the little things and getting out of here and getting to wherever we have to go and fighting traffic and, you know, making sure that we get there before that guy gets, you know. We shouldn't have that heart. So I want to have a little heart check. Do we realize the tremendous blessings that we have? And Pastor Steve touched into this. It is so easy, especially here in Southern California, to forget all the blessings that we have. It's so easy. You look out there and you see all the, you know, all these brand new cars on the road with no license plates, and I look at my truck and it's like, it's about time. It's so easy. Jillian and I went to a nice steakhouse this last week. Very rare occasion. This is not something we do all the time. But just as a Christmas thing, we went to a nice steakhouse, and it's the kind where, you know, when you order the way overpriced steak, it comes on a really hot plate, just the steak, nothing else. If you want sides, you got to order way overpriced sides to go with that. But it's just such a different world than the one that I normally am a part of or ever around. And it was amazing because I'm sitting there looking at all these tables, ordering just drinks and bottles of wine that cost hundreds of dollars a piece, and ordering all these appetizers and steaks that cost up to like $100 a piece, and, you know, all these things and desserts, and you know, it's crazy. It's really easy for me to sit here and be like, wow, this is how people live in Southern Orange County. And a lot of these people, I think this was just Tuesday for them. You know, this wasn't that once every 5 year, I'm going to take my wife out because she deserves it type meal. This is like, oh yeah, we'll go on there, that's fine. So it's easy for us to forget, but I have some stats here that I think will give us a little bit of a heart check. 53% of the people on earth live on less than $2 a day. Do we realize that? More than half of the earth's population live on less than $2 a day. That means that in order for one of them to buy the new iPhone, they would have to work 500 days straight, and then they would have no service or any kind of carrier. That would just be for the phone. If you make $48,000 per year, you automatically make more than 100 times the average person on the earth. That's crazy. Here, $48,000, you're like, I might be able to afford a studio, maybe. And then my whole attitude is based on this, oh, well, that guy has the brand new car and the big house and all that. The reality is we're all here in Southern California. one of the most desirable places on earth. So many people would want to be here. And we're here. We should be just praising God for this reality that we get to be in this paradise, in this place that is just showing off and just His beautiful creation. We have the mountains right behind us. We have the ocean right in front of us. It's hard not to see a sunset on that ocean and just praise God. And we're safe. How many of us here have been looking out the back window? Or how many of our security guards are staring out there, making sure that the government doesn't raid this place and haul us all off to jail right now? We don't even think that way. We don't even think that. We hear of some story, you know, some horrible tragedy in Texas, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, do I even feel safe going to church? And it's like, other countries, this is how they live every single day. And here I am saying, dang, I have an iPhone 6. I can't even pull this out up here because you guys are going to be like, oh, struggling times. You know, if you guys want to donate, that's fine. We'll have a little thing go around. But we need to realize the blessings we have. When we realize that we have more than $2 a day, and when we live here, and when our complaint is that I don't have a brand new car, we got to realize our heart. Where's our heart? Where's our heart at this morning? So let's pray. Lord, we know that You're faithful to meet us here this morning. So we ask that You come minister to our hearts. Lord, we invite You to explore the depths of our heart. Lord, we ask that You break down barriers to our faith, to our worship, our love, and communion with You. God, may we place the focus upon You here this day. Lord, after all, You really are the reason for the season here. Lord, may You be our focus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that's just kind of the diving in point. And I want to just make it clear with you guys, this is what God's been like just really testing my heart with for months as I've been preparing this message. So I'm just kind of regurgitating for you guys what He's already been making me chew for months here. So I'm speaking to myself and you guys are all just here listening. But it's critical to assess our heart because oftentimes it's coupled very closely hand in hand with our view of God. So let me rephrase that, or let me say that again. It's critical to assess the status of my heart because it goes hand in hand with my view of God. Do we realize that? That if my view of God is of an amazingly powerful creator and savior and just a loving father, then my heart reflects that. But if my heart is more focused on other things, then I got a question, how do I view God here this morning? A real life example is if you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, husband, wife, are you truly, madly, deeply in love with them? Then all of a sudden, my view of them and my heart go hand in hand. If I'm in love with her, my view of her is one of love. And vice versa. When my view is one of love, my heart can't help but to love her. Same thing with God. So another tough question. How do you view God here this morning? Take a minute. Think about it. Be honest, true to your heart, maybe deeper than you would confess to others. But how do you view God here this morning? A whole lot of different options. You can view Him as an evil puppeteer, pulling strings and laughing as you stumble. You can view Him as an apathetic, distant guy sitting off there somewhere in the clouds. You can view Him as a cosmic vending machine, a mean or harsh judge. Unfair? It's a tough one. An unreachable, perfect being that's constantly disappointed in my failures. Or just someone to put off until the last possible second. But I hope that we see Him as our perfect, loving Savior here this morning. Because when I have a heart that is in love with God, it's because and goes hand in hand with the fact that He is my perfect, loving Savior and Father. We need to realize that here this morning. So let's see what the Christmas story tells us about how we should see God. If you guys can turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to be 18 to 23. Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 23. It says, "Now the birthplace of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God with us.'" So, this is my daughter, Kaylin. This is where y'all can be, oh, aw, she's the cutest. She is the youngest prop baby that I have at my disposal. So this would have gone better, you know, when she was like a few weeks old. But it still works. She's just hanging out up here. So my question is, even cuter, there you go. So my question is, have you ever cared for or held a baby? Have you ever taken care of a baby? Most of us here probably have. Oh, she's very intrigued. Now, don't let her, in all of her strength and being able to hold her head and everything, fool you. But when you are picking up a little tiny baby, you have to hold the head so carefully. That is like the first thing. It's almost like when somebody has a neck injury and you got to put them on the board and strap them down, like that's the same level of care that you have to have with a baby, with an infant. You cannot pick them up without also cradling and supporting the head. Also, she gave me a great example this morning, because with a baby, you can't put anything, no blankets, nothing in the crib. She wants mom. You can't put anything in the crib. This morning, I turn on the webcam. I was preparing this, or working through this message and looking at it and just going through this exact point here about how helpless a little infant is. And I turn on the webcam and she has reached her hand through the crib and has pulled off the changing, the pad on the changing table and is now sleeping on top of it, face down into it. This was right at the moment that I was preparing through, don't put anything in the crib. I didn't. She pulled it and brought it in. I just want to be clear in that. So, of course, I panic, run upstairs, put down the phone, go in. She's fast asleep, sleeping fine. I go to try to slip it out. Of course, she wakes up and was very upset that I woke her up. You can't shake them. You can't drop them. I mean, that one I hope everybody knows. You got to swaddle them perfectly. They are so delicate. It wasn't until Kaylin that I really realized just how delicate. Just how, I mean, even before she was born, just, you know, if that heart stops beating for a split second, or if the air, oxygen isn't going, or whatever, we can go into a panic in a heartbeat. We had a couple of those when she was in labor. But I just never realized how delicate a human life was. When they cry, you got to feed them, burp them, put them to bed. We all know the last one that we hope we never have to do, change them. Have you ever thought, and this is if you take one thing away, wake up for this. Have you ever thought about the fact that God, the Creator, the Almighty, the All-Knowing, that God stepped off his throne in heaven to come down as a helpless little baby upon this earth? Have we ever thought about that? Because we tend to just, oh yeah, Jesus came down, little baby. Jesus was not a little baby Jesus sitting up in heaven before he came down to earth. He was a full-grown Jesus in heaven. Came down as a little helpless baby for us. That blew my mind when I stopped to think about that. And really, like, I spent weeks just pondering that. That was like the one thing God gave me and then said, just meditate on this for a while. Do we realize how powerful that is? And what just a powerful image of Jesus coming down as a helpless little baby. Babies are helpless on their own. They can't eat on their own. So think about Jesus being reliant upon Mary for food. The all-powerful God reliant upon Mary. Then when Jesus talks about how we should thirst for the word like a milk for its or for like a baby for its mother's milk, he knows what that feels like. He went through that. He knows. He was reliant upon Mary for milk. They're helpless. They can't change their own diaper. This is the only time in all of history that man has ever cleaned up after God's mess. Do we realize that? And third, they can't protect themselves. A baby cannot protect themselves at all. A baby doesn't know how to assess the environment and, oh, there's a lion out there, so stop crying. No, they have no idea about that. That's why God puts in parents just this innate, instant, just desire to protect a baby. I didn't know Kaylin before she came into this world, other than, you know, the kicks through mom's belly. But as soon as she came out, you would have to go through me to get to her. Before, I don't know, I haven't felt that way probably about anybody except maybe Jill and close family. But God puts it in us. So imagine Jesus, God, the Creator, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, coming down as a helpless little baby. That should make us stop and think for a second. So, what does this say about our God? It says a couple things. It says that God is humble. Do we realize how humble he is? He humbled himself to the point of stepping off his perfect throne in heaven to come down as a tiny, defenseless, unable to do anything baby. That's pretty humble. The all-powerful God coming down as a helpless little baby. He's humble because he knew before he even chose to do that, he knew that he would be rejected. We all know the other holiday, you know, where we have him up on the cross because of how rejected he was by this world. Even as a baby, though, he was rejected. King Herod's trying to kill him as soon as he comes out. Talk about, you know, not coming down to a pleasant environment down here. And then if I were God and if I were going to come down here, I'd make sure that I had a great place set up for my birth, right? Front and center. Probably Ritz, Ocean View Room, something like that. Really nice. I'm God. I could do that. But instead, he comes in a manger. Only good enough for the animals. Do we think about that? God coming down to be rejected, eventually knowing he was going to be sacrificed for us, coming down into a place that's only good enough for the animals. Pretty humble God. What else does it say about God? It says that he's selfless. God left heaven for you and for me. I don't know about you guys, but I can't wait to get to heaven. Like, we're all looking the other way. All the while, Jesus said, you know what? Because I love them so much, I'm going to do the opposite. And I'm going to leave this perfect place where I sit on my throne and go down to that horrible, wicked earth. That was definitely one of my concerns bringing Kaylin into the world. You know, it was the first time that I realized, well, boy, this place is messed up. I look around and do I, you know, Do I really want to put kid through that? This is that same world that Jesus chose to come down to save. It's selfless because he knew that the purpose of him coming was going to be raised to be slaughtered to cover our sins. Jesus never did anything wrong. Think about that. If I do something comes out and there's some rumor or something and I'm innocent in it, I want everyone to know. Like, all these rumors, they're just false. You know, I didn't do anything wrong in this. I'm innocent, blah, blah, blah. Jesus came knowing he was going to be perfect and innocent and did nothing wrong, with the attitude that he was going to lay down his life for us. It's pretty selfless. He bore all your sins and all my sins so that we wouldn't have to. He took all that on. What else does it say about our God? It says that he loves you. It says that he loves you. God wants a relationship with you so badly that he came as a baby so that he could relate to you, so he could feel your pain, your struggle, your heartache, so that he could ultimately lay down his life so that you can now be his child for all of eternity with full inheritance. Matthew 20:28 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." John 13:15 says, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." John 15:15, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." How awesome is this, that Jesus is calling us friends? Jesus is calling us friends. It doesn't sound like some distant, apathetic guy sitting off in the cloud somewhere. Without this little baby Jesus in the manger, you and I would be required to pay for our sins for all of eternity in hell. But that little baby in the manger changed the course of history forever. And that's why we're here to worship him today, because he changed our future. He paid our debt. He came for you and me. So we all know the Christmas song, "Joy to the World," where we sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king." And it goes on to say, "Joy to the people everywhere you see. Joy to you and me." Do we realize that that joy is Jesus? We sing this song, and I never quite really realized. This is talking about Jesus. It's talking about our Savior here. So if we replace joy with Jesus' name, it reads like this. "Jesus to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Jesus to the people everywhere you see. Jesus to you and me." Pretty powerful. So with all that said, we should be supernaturally joyous here this morning. We shouldn't be worried about getting out of here. We shouldn't be, punching in on my time clock. We should be supernaturally joyous because of the hope, the love, and the life that we have through that little baby in the manger. God is not some distant, apathetic, unreasonable being. He loves you. He offered his life for you. He offers you hope and joy. He wants an intimate relationship, personal, love-filled relationship with you here today. Do we realize that? He did all this so that he can have a personal, intimate, joy-filled, love-filled relationship with each one of us. This should be like an amen, hallelujah. Bryson, I need your help here. Amen, perfect. Thank you, Bryson. So, as a father, and that's still weird to say, I look at Dave for some reason. As a father, I'm finally starting to get a small taste of how God sees us. The love that I have for that little cute baby that you saw up here is just a glimpse of the love that God has for me and for each one of us here. Every single day, Jillian wants me to text her or call her when I'm leaving work. And I am very blessed. I live like half a mile from my work. So that gives her a couple minute warning on my commute home. And her and Kaylin come out to meet me on the street where I park. And this has hands down become my favorite part of the day. Because I hope that they get there before I do, so that when I'm stopped at that one red light, that I see them over there waiting. And then just the anticipation to get there. Do we realize that's how God sees us? The favorite part of his day, when we come to him. When we come here this morning with a joyous heart to worship him for everything he's done for us. He did not lay down his life so that you owe him. This is one of the most important things in our walk with God. He did not do it so that we feel a burden or something that we owe him. He did it because he loves us so much that he wants to spend eternity with us. I don't ask Jillian and Kaylin to come out there because I worked all day. I'm tired. This is the least you could do. No, that would ruin it. It's the joy of just having that where you come home and it's like, yeah. And that's just a glimpse at how God sees us. Incredible. So today, God's arms are stretched open wide, ready for you to run into them. Whether for the first time or the millionth time, today he's down, bending down with his arms spread wide. What a better gift than a God with arms stretched wide for us. Doesn't matter what we've done, where we come from, how much we've screwed up. Today, yesterday, last week, 5 years ago, 50 years ago. It doesn't matter. Matthew 1:23, I'm going to read it again. It says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." His name is God with us. Arms stretched wide here with us. Let's close our head and pray, or close our eyes and pray. Had to get in one last joke. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Baby Jesus was by far the greatest gift that this earth has ever received. Because of that perfect gift, we can be called your children, Lord, with full inheritance. You are our Father. May we be a glorious reflection of the God that we call Daddy. May our hearts be rooted in the truth and love of Jesus Christ. We join hearts with Paul as he prays in Ephesians chapter 3. "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him belong in the name of Jesus Christ to all the generations, forever and ever. Amen."
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.